We'll make a start with singing hymn 141. Christ is the Saviour of sinners. Christ is the Saviour for me. Long I was chained in sin's darkness. Now by his grace I am free. Saviour of sinners. Saviour of sinners like me. Shedding his blood for my ransom. This is the Saviour for me. We'll just remain seated and sing hymn 141.
Christ is the Saviour of sinners, Christ is the Saviour for me. Long I was chained in darkness, now by his grace I am free. Saviour of sinners, Saviour of sinners like me.
Let us pray. Our God and Father, we come before thee in the worthy name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we give thee thanks above all that there is a Saviour. And we are thankful that there are those of us here and we can say that he's a Saviour of sinners, a Saviour of sinners like me, and we can in truth say that he is my Saviour. And we just pray for each that is here this evening that is still not saved. We think of the children. We think of those that are older. We commend them each and every one to thee and pray that all may know their need of a Saviour. But above all, that they may realize that salvation has been provided and a Saviour is ready and able to save, and that there might be some that this evening might put their trust in Christ and receive him as their own. We commend the meeting here to thee, along with every other place where the gospel will be preached. We think of the city of Belfast and the many round about and many who know very little of the gospel. And we commend the city to thee, commend our land to thee, and we pray, O God, for thy blessing. We leave ourselves now with thee, asking for thy help in the Saviour's name. Amen.
Now we give everyone a very warm welcome this evening to the meeting. It was good to see you. Good to see the good number of young people as well. We're into the dark evenings and it's not a very pleasant weather wise as well, but we're thank you for coming and we thank those who are joining online as well. And we trust that each will be blessed for being under the sound of the gospel this evening. We also give a very warm welcome to our speakers tonight, Andrew Usher from Killiecurgan, who has opened, and our brother Yule Usher from Ballachie, and we trust and pray that they may know the Lord's presence and help as they would proclaim the gospel this evening. Now, the announcements for the incoming week. Tomorrow night at 7 is the Bible Explorers, and our brother John Wilkinson will be the speaker. Then Thursday, the prayer meeting and the Bible reading at 7:45. We'll continue our studies in Colossians chapter 1 from verse 18 down to verse 23. Next Lord's Day, the breaking of bread at 11, Sunday school and Bible class at 3, the prayer meeting at 6:30, and the gospel again at 7. And on that occasion, we expect our brother Johnny Booth from the Growl Assembly. Now, of course, everyone is made very warmly welcomed to these meetings. And of course, they're announced in the mind and will of the Lord. And I will hand our meeting over to our brother Andre.
Just like to briefly again thank all who have come. I think I was announced as William, and it is Andrew, in case any are still confused. Could I please ask you to turn to John's Gospel? We will read John's Gospel, chapter 3, and verse 36. John's Gospel, chapter 3, and verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Turn over now, please, to John's Gospel, chapter 19. John's Gospel, chapter 19. And we will read verse 30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Please turn now to Romans chapter 3. And we will read from verse 22. Romans chapter 3 and verse 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That will be our reading, and we trust with God's blessing upon his word. This evening, just to briefly open the meeting, I would like to tell how I was saved. It's good to see a lot of younger children here. I was saved whenever I was 10 years old. And maybe as you come to hear the gospel, you think that the gospel message that is preached is for older people. It's for adults. You see, the meeting tonight and the message of the gospel is for you, because there's children and there's adults, there's older folks and everybody in between, and there's salvation for you. I was brought up in a Christian home. My father, who will speak after me, they left Northern Ireland over, my dad and mum left Northern Ireland over 50 years ago to go to Venezuela in South America as missionaries. Whenever I am asked what was it like to grow up in a Christian home in Venezuela, the way I often put it, it was just exactly the same as a Christian home in Northern Ireland, only with an awful lot more meetings. I remember Monday night was prayer meeting. Tuesday night was Bible reading. Wednesday night was a Bible reading. Thursday night there was another Bible reading in a different place. Friday night there was a prayer meeting. Sunday, I think, at the start, there was breaking of bread. There was a time we went to two Sunday schools. And there was a gospel meeting. And there was usually a good scattering of Saturday ministry meetings as well. Why do I say that? You see, there are people, and as they would think about those that come to hear the gospel, and you would think about your life, maybe there are those here and you're like me. I was speaking to somebody a few weeks ago whenever we were in the open airs, and there was a young couple outside Garba that moved from Belfast. I don't really think they will have remembered anything that was said because they were high on drugs. She couldn't think of somebody that hadn't taken drugs and someone that had never smoked and someone that had never drunk, someone that had never done anything. And there's people in the world and they would think of somebody like that, that's somebody that's a Christian. That's a good person. That's somebody that's going to be in heaven. I can look back in a little hall in I was going to call it a town. It's not a town. It's a few houses with a road down the middle. A place called Teeguigui. I was likely 5 or 6 years old. I cannot remember anything that was said. I can picture my father on the platform. But in that gospel meeting, I learned a very important thing. And that is why I have read in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. In that meeting, I learned that I was a sinner. It didn't matter that my father was a preacher and a missionary. It didn't matter that I was considered to be a good person. I was a sinner. You see, that's what the Bible says. It says there's no difference. So those of us who are up here and are speaking are no different from those of you who are there in the audience and looking this way. We're all the same. We're all sinners. And I had to learn that night that, like every other person, I was born a sinner. And so have you. Nobody ever had to teach you to do things that are wrong, now, did they? Nobody had to ever teach a child to be naughty and to disobey. I can see a few smiles from the children. You know, nobody had to teach you that. Because there's something inside all of us, and it's called a sinful nature. And when you and I we were born sinners. But you see, that night I learned something even just as important. I learned I'm a sinner. And there's no difference. But I learned if I am ever going to be in heaven, I must be saved. I would like that truth just to sink into your heart and mind. And maybe there are those of you here who are younger. Some of you who have heard it, maybe for half a lifetime. If you are ever going to be in heaven, there will have to be a time in your life when you get saved. In the hall in Killiecurigan and now in the community building in Garva, we have a children's meeting on a Monday night. And we always finish by singing that chorus. A chorus that I have actually heard people from a generation past give their testimony that went to the Sunday school and children's meeting in Killiecurigan. And a chorus that was sung that they never forgot. I've a soul to be saved. May this truth be engraved on my mind and my heart while I'm young. Oh, how awful the cost if my soul should be lost, and in hell if I die as I am. This would be a very worthwhile meeting. young and old, if you're not saved, to realize I'm a sinner. And something will have to change before I can ever be in heaven. I need to be saved. I am thankful that really from that moment on, there was never a time that I didn't want to be saved. Went to meetings in Venezuela, back here, maybe for a few visits, went to tent meetings, gospel meetings, wanting to be saved, but not saved. Came to the year 1987, 10 years old, I was born in 77. Went to the Christmas conference. There on the ministry meeting, our brother Noel McKeown got up to speak, and people ask me sometimes, whenever you were children and you went to conferences, I said, well, in ministry meetings you didn't have to listen. Gospel meetings you had to sit up and listen, but ministry meetings you could entertain yourself with. Get the time through. But because it was our brother Noel McKeown and I knew him and liked him, I listened. He read of the coming of the Lord and he was encouraging the Christians, keep on praying that your family circles will be complete in Christ. I thought, well, my mum and dad are saved. My two elder brothers are saved. My sister Helen's saved. But you're not saved. You see, God speaks in strange ways. Noel McKeown never thought whenever he read and spoke that God would use that to awaken me. And I just sat there and I thought, I really want to be saved. Went to the gospel meeting at the end of the day. Again, there was likely 400 or 500 people in the hall. I was sitting over to the side, a little boy of 10, trying my best not to cry. Why? Because I wanted to be saved. I didn't want to be in hell. You know, sometimes I think we live in a world where there are so many things that seem real. And we all get taken up with school. And the children with their devices and their video games and all of the things that fill our time and they seem so real. And sometimes we just forget about the fact that we're all facing eternity. And if we're not saved, we can't be in heaven and we will be in hell. Nobody needed to tell me that. Nobody needed to tell me that I needed to be concerned about that. The next day was Christmas Day. Went to the conference in the morning. My father won't mind me saying, that year, the conference finished at lunchtime. Children hear a lot of things, you know. And I can remember comments being made and maybe some of the preachers weren't too happy that they'd closed the conference early, because the conference always finished on Sunday night. But they wanted to get time to clear up and not be so tired the next day. So they closed the conference at lunchtime. I was at home at 3 o'clock that day in my room. And I did something that day that I had never done before. No, Christians' children were strange people. I had wanted to be saved likely for 5 or 6 years and had never told anybody. We're afraid of letting people know. I went to my parents' room and told them that I would like to be saved. They read with me, prayed with me, but you see, they couldn't save me. I went back to my room. Don't know what time it was, and read over verses and tracts. And you see, I knew the gospel well. I knew that I was a sinner, and I knew the Lord Jesus Christ had died on the cross for sinners. And nobody could have argued me out of that. And I knew that I was a sinner. If I was a sinner, that meant that he died for me. John chapter 3 and verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. I'm saved. For the first time in my life, I stopped thinking about what I felt about it and what I thought about it, and I just accepted what God said was true. That was Christmas Day. You say you shouldn't have gospel meetings on Christmas days. And nobody would get saved. I got saved on Christmas Day. Before I finish, I read also Job's Gospel chapter 19. That might be a help to some. You see, I was saved as a boy of 10. Whenever you get older, you start to think, what did I understand when I was a boy of 10? Whenever I started to listen to other people's stories of conversion and all of the many things that had happened to them and all of the things that they'd understood, that wasn't in my story of conversion. I didn't have weeks and months of anxiety, and I couldn't fit myself into all of these other stories of conversion. You see, I wasn't asked to. And I remember wondering and thinking, am I really saved? You see, John's Gospel chapter 19 and verse 30 brought a great stability and surety and certainty. There upon the cross of Calvary, whenever the Lord Jesus Christ died, he said, it is finished. There was nothing that I could do. There was nothing that I could bring. All of my believing and my anxiety and my feelings are worth absolutely nothing. I am saved because of what Christ has done at the cross, and he said it is finished. Just before I sit down, I just want to ask you the question. Have you learnt that you're a sinner? Do you realize that unless your sins are forgiven and you're saved, you will never be in heaven? And maybe there's some here and you would say, I want to be saved. I would like to be sure of being in heaven. How can I be saved? You see over there in Ephesians, the scripture says very clearly, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You see there in Ephesians, the apostle speaks about those, and it says of them that they heard the gospel. They heard the message the same way as you are hearing it this evening. It said they believed the message. But then it says these words, in whom ye also trusted, they trusted Christ. You see, whenever it comes to salvation and being saved, all I would say is get your eyes and your thoughts off yourself and what you can do and what you can bring and what you can feel and what you can believe. Simply take in the truth that God has given his Son to go to the cross. And there upon the cross of Calvary, all that was needed for my salvation and yours was eternally finished. And because Christ has died, been buried and risen again, because he is at God's right hand, he is able and willing to save. And God offers to you salvation. You know, maybe sometimes whenever we preach the gospel, we make salvation sound like something that you have to persuade God to give you. Let me make it abundantly clear. Scripture and God says that whosoever will may come and take the water of life freely. Salvation is offered to you as a gift. Free, available for you. And God simply asks you to accept salvation and to accept his Son as your Savior. Just leave the question with you. Are you saved? Maybe if you're not saved, I just would like to ask another question. When are you going to be saved? There is nothing missing from God's side. You know, a sinner can't turn around and say, I have to wait until God does something because the work of salvation from God's part is completely finished. And all that God does is wait for you to receive his Son and trust him as your Savior. May God bless his word.
You turn, please, to the Gospel according to John chapter 10. Gospel according to John chapter 10 and verse number 1. I can remember very clearly that Lord's Day afternoon, that Christmas Day, when Andrew spoke to his mum and I, and then short time afterwards, he put his head in round the corner of the door. He says, it's all right now. It's all right now. What good news that Andrew had been saved. Now, John chapter 10 and verse number 1, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Verse number 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And all the sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Verse 26, but ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Let me be reading, and we do trust with the Lord's blessing. Now I think, as we read in the Gospel according to John, all we agreed is a special Gospel. All the Word of God is special, but there's something about the Gospel according to John. John is the one that reminds us of new things, and in chapter 3 we have a new birth. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And in the chapter we've read, John chapter 10, we have a new congregation. All the sheep I have that are not of this fold, the Jewish fold, them also I must bring, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Yes, Jew and Gentile brought together, and a new congregation with the Lord in the midst. In chapter 14, there we have a new hope. And my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again I'll receive you unto myself. A new hope, the coming again of our Lord Jesus Christ. But our purpose this evening, tonight, gathered, is to make known the gospel. And we'd like to point out a few gospel truths that we have in John's Gospel, chapter 10. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to the people, to his own and to the people, he says that he was speaking a parable. And they didn't really understand. But you know, as we think of the parable, as we think of what the Savior said, he himself interprets the parable. He speaks about a shepherd, a good shepherd. And he tells us, I am the good shepherd who giveth his life for the sheep. He speaks about sheep and he tells us who they are. I am the door, by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved. The sheep are just you and I, men and women, boys and girls. They are the sheep. And then the door speaks about a door. He says, I am the door. The door is the Lord Jesus Christ. So we think, first of all, about the sheep. Two classes of sheep. He says, my sheep hear my voice. And then there are others that are not of my sheep. In other words, there are those that belong to the Lord, those that don't, those that are saved, those that are not saved. Two classes of sheep, two classes of people, those that are saved and those that are not saved. It's good that we all understand that never anyone was born on the way to heaven. I was speaking to a dear lady a few weeks ago. We were at a meeting over in Windsor, Spanish meeting. And I was speaking to a lady afterwards, and I said to her, are you saved? And she said, oh, she says, I have been saved desde chiquita. That means from very, very small. Very small. You know, sadly, I think that dear lady, she's thinking because that her parents went to gospel meetings. She's thinking that she was always a Christian, that she was always on the way to heaven. I would like to make it clear this evening in the Lord's name that never was anyone born on the way to heaven. We're born in sin and shapen in iniquity, sinners by nature and sinners by practice. Andrew has reminded us of the first time that he learned that he was a sinner. I have a nephew, and he, when he's given his testimony, would talk about the first time that he learned that he was a sinner. We were at home and I was speaking at a children's meeting, something I don't do very often. I always think that there are those that can do it and I let them do it. But I had with me that day a wordless book, and the first page of the book was black, telling us that we're all sinners. And Jonathan would tell you that evening, sitting in that children's meeting, as a boy learned for the first time that I'm a little sinner just as black as coal. What a meeting it would be if some of these dear children, older ones with us, and you would learn that you're a sinner, that you need to be saved if ever you're going to be in heaven. So two classes, those that are saved and those that are not saved. Wouldn't it be good if you could just find out exactly where you stand as far as being saved or not saved? I've been thinking lately of the words of the wise man. He says there's a time to die, a time to be born, and there's a time to die. Being born into this world introduced us to time, to this world. But the day of our death will introduce us to eternity. Eternity that never will end. Unless there's a moment between the day of our birth and the day of our death, but we get saved through trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll never be in heaven. And that's why it's good to ask yourself the question, am I saved? Am I on the way to heaven? Or am I not saved, still on the downward road, in danger of perishing and perishing for all eternity? You know, the Lord said about Judas, for that man, and better for him, he never had been born. Better never to have been born than to be born and live and die and lose your soul and be under the wrath and judgment of God forever. So we're speaking about the sheep. There are those that are saved and they belong to the Lord. Those that are not saved and they're still on the downward road. We'll repeat it again, I wonder, are you saved? We need to have a moment when, the place where and how we were saved. You know, there's always, in a meeting like this, a strong pull as to when you hear Andrew giving his testimony a strong pull for not to do the same. But you know, if you really ask me, I'm asking you, have ever you had a time when, a place where, and no matter how you were saved, you have every right to ask me, tell me, mister, have you a time when, a place where, and no matter how that you were saved, thank God, I have. I can remember, it was the 16th of June, it was the year 1960. That's quite a long time ago. Yes, 64 years ago. As a young man of 17 years of age, having understood my deep need of salvation, I can remember early that morning, standing at the door yonder in Yarva, where we were brought up, waiting in a car coming to take me to work. And as I thought over these matters, if there's an accident, something happens, I said to myself, I'll be tormented. I'll be under the judgment of God forever. You know, from the depths of my soul, I cried, God, save me. Don't let me die and go down to hell forever. That was my cry during that morning. And you know, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God heard my cry. That afternoon, sitting yonder on a big stone at the side of the Agave River that runs along the bottom of the house where we were brought up in, sitting on a big stone reading that little booklet, God's Way of Salvation, I read words like these, that God, on the ground of Christ's finished work, God offers you salvation. I said to myself, I'm saved. God's satisfied with the finished work of the Lord Jesus upon the cross, and he offers me salvation. And I said, oh, God's satisfied, I'm satisfied too. I wonder if you, a moment in your life when you were saved, you can go back to the moment when God saved you. Yes, saved for eternity through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. But we're brought before us here, first of all, the sheep. Those that are saved, those that are not saved. But if sinners are going to be saved, if sinners are going to be in heaven, how can that come about? Thank God we've got the shepherd. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. In order that sinners might be saved, in order that lost sheep might be found, it was necessary that the Lord Jesus Christ should die upon the cross. I am the good shepherd. Yes, none other like him, God's eternal Son. We know in order that sinners might be saved, there was one that was needed to die to provide salvation for them. No man can by any means redeem his brother. Give to God a ransom for him, for the redemption of the soul is precious, and it ceases forever. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. In order that sinners might be saved, the Savior came. He became man in order that he might die upon the cross. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. It was a voluntary death. I power to lay down my life. I've power to take it again. This commandment I received of my Father. In order that we sinners on the downward road could be saved, it was necessary that another would take our place. He died as our substitute. Yes, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Oh, what a moment it was. God's beloved Son. We were thinking this morning as we sat down around himself remembering the Lord. Oh, yes, we thought of Gethsemane. Gethsemane, as the Savior thought about the reality of Calvary. Now is my soul troubled. Yes, he could say that we read his sweat was it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. The agony of soul as he contemplated Calvary. But you know, there came the moment when the Lord Jesus Christ, with that Roman lash and the cruel crown of thorns, and they nailed him by the hands and the feet to the cruel cross of wood. But he suffered in soul agony, contemplated Calvary. There came that moment upon the cross. Oh yes, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The Lord Jesus Christ, God's beloved Son, in order that you and I might be saved, in order that our sins might be forgiven, in order that we might be in heaven, God's beloved Son died upon the cross when he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Yes, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put under grief, for thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, in order that we might be saved, in order that our sins might be forgiven. The Lord Jesus Christ died upon the cross. He shed his precious blood, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Yes, the good shepherd, he gave his life for the sheep. He died to save sinners. Thank God he was buried. He rose again the third day after he cried, "It is finished." He bowed his head. He gave up the ghost. Thank God tonight he's seated at God's right hand in heaven. He's a prince and a savior. Some might say, "Well, now you've told us that we're sheep, that we're sinners, that we need to be saved if ever going to be in heaven. You've told us that the Lord Jesus Christ died to provide salvation for us. He gave his life for the sheep that they might be saved. But could you not tell me how I could be saved?" I would like to think there might be someone in the meeting this evening, and that would be your desire, that you'd like to be saved. You'd like to know that your sins are forgiven. You'd like to know that you're going to be in heaven. So here, the Lord Jesus Christ, here, he speaks about the door. He says, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." The door. And the door is the Lord Jesus Christ. Often in Venezuela, when we're trying to preach the gospel, especially in new places, we would have the two roads chart. And they often would say there's only one good thing in the broad road, and it is that there's a door. And those that on the broad road, they take that step, they go through the door of salvation. One moment they're on the broad road, the other moment they're on the narrow road that leads to heaven. The Savior said, "I am the door. I am the door. By me, if anyone enter in, he shall be saved." There's that step of faith. By me, salvation is through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, to take the step of faith, good to go through the door. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." Salvation is through the Lord Jesus Christ. By me, if any man. That means you and me and everybody else. That's the great word, whosoever. "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." Yes, if this evening, realizing your need as a sinner, realizing that the Lord Jesus Christ died upon the cross to provide salvation for you, if you accept him as your Savior, if you believe in him, if you come to him, whatever word that you might want to use, yes, he says, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in." That's by faith in the Lord Jesus. Understanding he died in my place and putting your faith and trust in him, you'll be saved for time and saved for eternity. Oh, thank God for the door. Thank God for the Savior. And says, if any man, that's any boy, any girl, any older friend in our meeting, if you trust the Savior, if you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you'll be saved and be on the way to heaven. So we have the sheep, sinners, some saved, some not saved. We have the Savior who died to provide salvation. And then we have the sheep that can go through the door. They can trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and be saved for time and for eternity. Someone might say, if I was to accept the Lord Jesus as my Savior tonight, if I was to trust in him, believe in him, and be saved, what about tomorrow? The Savior said, "I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish." Salvation is once and for all. I repeat it, the Savior said, "I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish." Once in Christ, and Christ forever. I look back to that afternoon, 64 years ago, when I trusted Christ for salvation. Many a time there have been ups and downs, and earlier, first days, maybe many a doubt that would come. But thank God, the Word of God says, "I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." As we draw our meeting to a close, again we'd like to ask each one, are you saved? Are you sure you're born again and washed in Jesus' blood? Are you saved? Are you ready for the Lord's coming? Remember, those that are saved will be in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ forever. Those that are not saved, if you die not saved, is to be under the wrath of God in hell and the lake of fire forever. We tell you kindly, but oh, tonight we would urge upon you to come to the Savior, to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. For he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. We might speak to the Lord in prayer. Our God and Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we come before thee at the end of our simple gospel meeting. We thank thee for the word of testimony given. We thank thee for the word of exhortation and warning given as well. And we thank thee for the good shepherd who giveth his life for the sheep. Remember each one bowed in thy presence. The Lord knoweth them that are his. Each one that's not saved, we ask of thee to have mercy upon them. Remember these dear boys and girls. Remember the homes that they come from. That as a result of the gospel preached, they might learn their need of a Savior and be saved for the great eternity. We commend ourselves to thee now, looking to thee for thy blessing, and take us to your homes in safety in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We might sing in closing another well-known hymn, 350. 350, again, the blessed gospel I've heard, that word divine and true. And God again has spoken to my soul, oh now, what shall I do? I come to thee, my God. I do thy love believe. I do accept the gift of life and peace. I do thy son receive. Maybe we just should stand where we sing 350 and then our meeting is over.
Peace.